Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
How y'all doing? Do you know why Athenians have such a hard time? They sleep in all the time. Do you know why they have such a hard time? Because dawn is tough on Greece. Oh, that was good. That's a good one, yeah. All right, so anybody ever flown an airplane in the room? Anybody ever flown? All right, so I was 19 years old. I'd never flown on an airplane, a commercial airplane in my life, all right? 19 years old, never flown on a commercial airplane. And my parents think it's a great idea for me to get an airplane and fly literally halfway around the world to Taiwan. So I get an airplane, fly to Taiwan, commercial airline, first time, going to a country. I do not speak the language. People don't speak the language. And it is slightly stressful. I remember getting to the Tokyo airport, and I couldn't talk any Japanese. And I'm there, and I've got my entire summer's cash in my backpack. And I haven't slept, it seems, in hours because of airplanes and stuff. So I literally lean up against a column in the Japanese airport in Tokyo and fall asleep with my backpack behind me so nobody could take my money. It was a weird moment. Well, something happened. I spent a couple of months there, about 2.5-3 months in Taiwan, and I get on an airplane to head home. Now, I'm 6'1", and most of my height is from here down. I have no torso. It's all legs and arms. I'm supposed to be 6'8" if I had a torso that matched my legs and arm. Anyway, I sit in an airplane. It's like horrible. My knees don't fit. It's bad. But something happened coming back, leaving Taipei, Taiwan, and flying back to Tokyo. There was a 747. I guess they had overbooked. And me and the lady who one of the ladies I'd spent the summer with, we got in the airplane, and as we're heading into the airplane, about to check in, they said, "You got bumped to first class." I will tell you, that is the only time in my entire life I have truly enjoyed flying. Do you know in first class, the seats recline all the way? And, you know, back in my kind of travel, I always traveled the economy. You know, they're selling now even economy before you get to regular ticket. And you can't get overhead bin space or whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But do you know in first class, you know what they served me? Lobster. I ate lobster, reclined all the way, and they warmed my towels before they brought them to me. Guys, back there in my class, I get a seat next to the toilet that won't recline, and all I have to smell is a urinal for 14 hours. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What I found out on that trip is that those who pay a lot of money get priority. There's a priority. When you go to board, if you're like me, I get the cheapest flight available because to me, flying is not about an experience. It's about getting from point A to point B. But there are people that get priority boarding, right? So that means they don't have to look for someplace to jam their stuff in an overhead bin because they got priority. The airlines make it very, very clear. All right, you don't believe me. All right. One more. This last time we went to China was several years ago. We're going back to China, by the way. In 2020, we're going to take a missions trip back to China, and I'll be talking about that real soon, about how you can participate and what we're going to be doing. But we took some flights in China, and this was literally the sign. Can you put up that sign? This was literally the sign outside of the boarding. And it is so true because being 6'1", remember Chinese people, most of them aren't very tall, right? Can you imagine this frame being jammed into one of those seats like this? And you know what they gave us? They didn't even give us crackers. They gave us these nasty little mints that taste like the dog dew you'd scrape off the bottom of your shoe. It was horrible. But crush room, no truer word. Because the priority is upon what? The first class. Now, we all recognize this in flying. The message is clear that some customers are more important than others, that some people deserve better treatment than others, right? But imagine this in your daily life. What if you were treated like this by your spouse or your parents or your children? The message that's sent is that one person is more important than another. And imagine in your world what it would be like to be treated as a low priority. Because priorities matter. Can you imagine for just a second? Can you ask yourself what is the message you're sending to those around you with your priorities? Because there's no faking when someone or something isn't a priority. There's no faking it. They just aren't. All right, so can I talk to the younger guys for a second? Talking about priorities. Have you ever got a new video game? You ever got a new video game? New one, like whatever the best of the best is. I don't know. Right? Give me one. Come on. You guys ever play video games? What's your video game? Xbox. All right. So when you got your Xbox, very first time, right? Very first time. You're up all night playing that thing, aren't you? You're like, parents are yelling, "We're going to ground you for that thing. Stop it." You're right? Right? After you play whatever that first game was, and you play it, and you play it, and you play it, and you play it, 6 months later, 2 years later, that game that was a big deal, 2 years later, you don't even play it now. You know why? It's not a what? Priority. You guys are starting to get what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about priorities today. One more thing. When we were first married, my wife made me Chick Devon. I love Chick Devon. I haven't had Chick Devon in 10 years. Happy birthday. Today we want to talk about what should be the priority of our lives. And I'd ask you to stand in honor of God's word. And we're going to read together from Matthew 6:33. I'm going to ask you to join me and actually read out loud with me these words. I think you can pull it off, right? Can we read these words out loud together? Here we go. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of the other things will be given to you as well. Father, I pray that today, next couple of moments, you would enable me to speak in a way that is appropriate, that our hearts would hear, we would be open, we would listen to what you have to say. And I pray that you would really talk to us today and that we would hear what the Spirit is saying and respond appropriately. Amen. Now, before you're seated, why don't you turn to somebody, give them a high five, and tell them, "Man, you are good looking." I'm just going to say that we've got some singles in this room, and if you're single and you're really looking for somebody, you know, like, there's somebody you're really interested in, you might want to position yourself close to them sometime. And when I say give them a high five and tell them, "Man, you're good looking," I don't know, love connection might happen. I don't know. All right, so we're going to look at this verse from three different angles today. Would anybody ever look at something from one angle and then it's different when you look at it from another angle? So we're going to look at this passage from three different angles. The first angle we're going to look at is from the angle of God. The angle of God, because this passage reveals three angles of what it means to have God as our priority. And let's just start with who we're talking about. We're to seek his kingdom. We're to seek his righteousness. Who is his? It is God himself. And that we are to focus, because there is no kingdom without a king, and there is no righteousness without the lawgiver himself, the right one himself. So actually, this command is the original command. You remember Exodus 20, Exodus 20, verse 3. The original command is this: "You shall have no other gods before me." Now, the word "before" is a little different in our text than in the Hebrew. "Before" seems to make it seem like I can't put like a god and then another god and another god. But what it literally means is, you shall have no other God as a greater priority, the priority of your life. Nothing else is to take the priority of God in your life. This is the original of the Ten Commands. God is to be the priority, the priority of your life. The priority, not a priority, the priority of your life. And, you know, I understand this. I really do. I understand people who struggle with it. I get it. Faith is hard. Now, me and my wife, we watched this movie last night called Breakthrough. Anybody seen that movie, Breakthrough? Let me just tell you, watch the movie. But I didn't think it would be that good. I hate Christian films. Get the movie. I hate Christian movies, just so you know. I hate them with a passion. And I watched this movie, and I sat and bawled for 30 minutes of it because of the realities being presented in this movie. It's about a kid who falls through the ice and dies and is resurrected. And Jesus literally brings him back to life and does miracles. And you want to watch this movie because it's real on so many fronts. All right, ignore the first 10 minutes. First 10 minutes were horrible. But after that, it is a great movie. First 10 minutes, it looked like every other Christian movie. Sorry. But I get it, you know? You pray, God doesn't do anything. I get it. Faith is hard. Faith is needed when you don't see anything. You don't need faith if you've already got everything, right? Who needs hope for what you already have? Who needs faith for what you don't already have? So faith is hard. I get that. And God is so supernatural. He's out there somewhere and it's weird. And I get it. I get it. It's hard for me to have faith sometimes, especially when God is so out there. And he's so out there sometimes I say he isn't even here. You know, God, you're not even here. You're not doing anything. And maybe you've ever felt that way. And if you have, it's all right. That's why we sing songs like God is still working, even though I don't see him, as a reminder through the week that God is still here and God is still moving, even when he doesn't feel it. I understand following God and making him the priority of your life is sometimes difficult because it's not obvious. And you know, there are bills that need to be paid, and the kids need to eat, and the dog wants to poop in the house. Got to get him outside before he poops in the house again. And the grass needs to be mowed. Got to get my kids to sports, and got to do this and that. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? And maybe somewhere in there, I have enough time to squeeze in a little me time, a little fun, like 18 holes of golf. So there's so much that needs to be done, and there's no time to do it, and then there's no me time, and if I squeeze in a little fun, then one day I look around and I realize that I'm living my life to pay the bills and to get the kids from point A to point B and try to have a little fun here and there, and it's just not fulfilling me. And that's when we realize we have a God-shaped vacuum in our soul, and that's the moment that our hunger is our soul crying out to God. So it's sort of like Iron Man. Yes, he's breaking down Iron Man in church this morning. Y'all know Iron Man, right? Iron Man, it's the only one of all of those superheroes that makes any sense, because there's nobody rich enough to be Batman. And Spider-Man, that's impossible. And Superman, that's impossible. But Iron Man, I mean, come on. If you had enough power, you have a suit, the suit could do it, right? But something's got to power the suit. So what powered the suit? Well, he started with palladium arc reactor. Y'all remember that? The palladium arc reactor? Any geeks in the room know what I'm talking about? Somebody say amen, yeah? So he had his palladium arc reactor, and it was what powered the suit. But the problem is that the palladium arc reactor that was powering the suit was actually, it was poisoning his blood, and it was killing him. So he had to replace it, but we don't know what he replaced it with because he replaced it with something that we can't define. And that's how it is in our lives. We need a power to get through life, to get up in the morning, you know, to drive to work and get things done. And there's a power, but the problem is the power we've been hoping on, the power that's the center of our life, the power that's here in the middle of us in our heart, and we've made the priority from which it all springs, is slowly poisoning us and killing us because God said, "You will have no other gods before me." And we need to replace that with this power we cannot identify or can't name, and there's no, Iron Man, there is no explanation of this new power source. He just got it. Because let me tell you, God, like Iron Man, like God, God is a power supply that won't kill you, but you can't define it, and you can't control it. And we've filled our lives with other priorities, and they're poisoning us. One by one, it poisons us, and we're dying a little by little. And we need to replace what is our source with a source, the power of God. Martha figured this out. Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. Mary was yelling at Jesus, said, Martha is in hell. Or Martha was yelling at Jesus about Mary, saying, Mary's not helping me out in the kitchen. She's not working. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only few things are needed, or indeed only one. Now, I hate the NIV in this passage. I understand why they did it, but it is totally a mistranslation of the passage. In the Greek, it does not say, but few things are needed. Now, I understand you need oxygen to live and you need water to live, and I understand those things, but listen. That's not in the original text, few things are needed. The only thing that's in the text is that one that says, indeed only one. There's only one thing that's needed, and Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken away from her. I understand why the NIV did that. If you want to know a better version, you can read the NET. I really like the NET. It says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the best part. When you make God the priority, it's the best. Only one thing is needed, and that is God. So second of all, the second angle we look at is that of God's kingdom. You know, we looked at it, it's God, it's just God, but then God's kingdom helps us understand what we're talking about a little bit more. The second angle, and if you value God, I believe you'll value what he values. You know, if you value a relationship with someone, you will value what they value. My mom hated to fish. She hated it. My dad loved to fish. So guess what my mom did? She went fishing. And before long, guess who loved fishing more than my dad? My mom, because when you value a person, you learn to value what they value. So what do you really value? Your car, your house, your bank account, your clothes, your kids, your image? Well, the value of something depends on what someone is willing to pay for it. If you ever question what God thinks your value is, just remember that he valued you enough to give his life for you. So the value of something is seen by where it falls on our priority list. What are we willing to pay for it? Can you really say that you value a relationship when you don't ever communicate? Can a person say they actually value God if they never stop and listen to him? Can a person say that they value God if they just blindly go through their day and their life without ever stopping to have a relationship with him? Now, this is a deep quote. It's from a guy named A.W. Tozer. And this is deep, and I make no apology for being deep, but you're going to have to tune in and listen if you want to get this out of it, all right? A.W. Tozer said, I've often wished that there were some way to bring modern Christians into a deeper spiritual life painlessly and by short, easy lessons. But all such wishes are in vain, for no shortcut exists. The inadequacy of much of our spiritual experience, is traced back to our habit of skipping through the corridors of the kingdom of God like little children skipping through the marketplace. Do you get the image here? The kids going through the marketplace, la, 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 not paying any attention to anything around them, just skipping. And he says this, the inadequacy of much of our spiritual experience is traced back to the habit of our skipping through the corridors of the kingdom of God like little children through the marketplace, chattering about everything, but pausing to learn the true value of nothing. The only way you grow up and the only way you embrace the fullness of God's kingdom is if you slow down enough to stop and pay attention to what God values. The rich young ruler. Now, Jesus did not give the command to everyone that he gave to the rich young ruler. Mark was probably a very wealthy person. Jesus did not give him this command. But he gave this command to the rich young ruler, and it's one that's been misunderstood for years. It's found in Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Barnabas was a rich man, by the way, and God didn't tell him that he had to sell everything. But he did to this guy. Jesus looked at him, and he did what? He looked at him and what? He loved him. Was he mad at him? No, he loved him. He looked at the young man, and he loved him. And he said, you have put something else in front of me. can I talk for a second? Can I go off script? Y'all let me? Listen to me, especially young people. I hate to tell you this, but your head's being filled with lies in our school. You're being filled with lies. They're feeding you lies about how to do and live life that's killing you. You adults on Facebook, do you realize that they have a algorithm that actually gives you what you want to see? It's called confirmation bias. They give you what you want to see. You're being told what you want to believe, even though it isn't true. We have a culture that is trying to control you by filling your brain with what you want to believe. Why do you think Democrats and Republicans cannot get along? Do you really think anybody in Congress really wants Democrats and Republicans to get along? No. Why do they not want you to get along? They want us to be divided so they can control us. The lies you hear, about morality and ethics in our culture are lies. The lies you hear. Do you realize that, oh my goodness, I look at this audience, I look at you guys, and I realize, especially some of you younger ones, in a couple years, you're going to come to a decision of whether or not you're going to follow Christ for yourself, not because your parents bring you, but because you want to. And I will tell you that if you walk away from the truth of faith for the lies of this world, you will follow something that will feed you death. And you're filling your heads and your hearts with it. And I'm a girl. I have a right for girl power. I don't care about that. My question is, are you submitted to God? Because all the girl power in the world without being submitted to God is nothing more than murder to your soul. I love who I love. You can love whoever you want to, but unless you love God first, it will destroy you. And if this makes me unpopular, I do not care, because I'm not in a popularity contest. I'm in a truth-giving relationship. And the truth is, God's truth is truth, and it's been truth long before our recent political agenda came into being, and it will be God long after it's gone. Yeah. Guys, listen. I got kids. I'm going to have grandkids soon, and I'm worried about the culture of our world. Listen, things are not worse now than they've ever been. Do you realize when Paul and Jesus were walking the earth? I'm sorry, I'm going off. Let me go off. Y'all let me go off here for a sec. When Paul was walking the earth, do you realize that sex with young boys was actually preferred to sex with a woman? That you would buy boy slaves so the rich ruler of the household could have his little pedagogue, his little boy that he did whatever to, and as a slave, the boy could not resist. Don't tell me our world is worse now than it was during the time when this Bible was written. And you can't tell me the rules that God made for how to live the right way are any different now than they were then. And you can't tell me that that worked, because those cultures all crashed because they valued pleasure more than they valued righteousness in God's kingdom. And this is the way to live, whether you like it or not. The way to live is that God's way is right, and I am to conform myself to Him regardless of what culture says. And you know what? In 1,000 years, it'll be proved right. In 1,000,000 years, it'll be proved right. In 10 million years, it'll be proved right. How did I go there? We have some values thermometers. This guy was told, hey, listen, you've put another God in front of me. It may not be money now. It may be your image. It may be your Instagram followers. It may be your political stance. It may be, and I'm against both sides. Both extremes are just as wrong. Why can't we do what the Bible, why don't we just do what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says? That we have a new command, and what's our new command? We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Wouldn't it be great if the Church of Jesus Christ actually acted like the Church of Jesus Christ rather than one more voting block for some group of idiots somewhere? man, preacher, preaching. Jesus looked at him and he said, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. You know what he told the guy who had another God, had a different priority? You know what he told him? You've got to get rid of this priority. You have to get rid of anything that stands as a priority over your relationship with God. So how do you determine what your priorities are? Well, I'll give you a couple. Number one, where do you spend your time? And number two, how do you spend your money? You know, those are thermometers. I can tell by how you spend your time what you really value. And I can tell by how you spend your money what you really value. Some of you value food an awful lot. So thermometers are this. If you show me your bank statement or however you reconcile your bank statement, be it online or however, and we were to go through it, I could show you what you really value because of what you spend your money on. And if we can sit down and we could take a calculation of your calendar and how much time you spend on Facebook, how much time you spend on Instagram, how much time you spend on your video games, how much time you spend studying, how much time you spend actually being productive at work, I could show you what you value. Because where you spend your time is what you value, and where you put your money is what you value. So you know what we're going to do over the next couple weeks? We're going to put our money where our mouth is. We're going to put our time, first of all, into what we value. So there's a number on the screen here. There'll be a number. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to text this KB2020 to this number. And every day at 8 a.m., everybody say 8 a.m., you will get one text. How many texts will you get?
One.
Not 50. How many will you get? One. So I'm not trying to fill your inbox up. And what I want you to do is I don't want you to open the text. But for the next 21 days, you can get one text a day. It'll be a scripture and it'll be a prayer focus for the day. And don't open the text until you have time to pray. Y'all do this too. I get a text and I'm like, oh, I ain't talking to you now. I leave them on read for a while. Yeah, I leave them unread, right? Y'all, does anybody do that other than me? I'll get back to you when I have the time, right? Right? I'll get back to you when I have the time. It's not that I don't care. It's just right now I am working at this job. I am right now doing this task. I am right now driving, and I'm not going to open this text, right? So don't open the text until you can take a moment or two, reflect on the scripture, bow your knee, and pray. For the next 21 days, just 21 days, that's it. We're going to send you a text every day at 8 a.m., and we're going to ask you to pray. We're sending it early in the morning so that you can make it a priority in your day to pray over kingdom builders. Now, the second thing we're going to ask you to do is we're going to ask you to give some money. Now, let's talk about this real quick. We're not asking you to give money unless you're already tithing. Can we talk about priority here? Priority is this, is that God has this plan for us. And this plan is, and we'll talk about it more later, but Leviticus 27:30 says, a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. So 10% belongs to who? It's God. It's God's 10%. It's not mine. It's not yours. And it is holy to the Lord. It is dedicated to the Lord. It's set apart for him. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So what is a tithe? The tithe is God gets 10%, then I live on the rest. Now, hold on. Can I share with you for just a second why I have no problem talking to you about tithing? I know. You've been told all the church cares about your money. You're absolutely wrong. I don't give a rat's behind whether you give or not. I don't care about your money. I don't care about your money. You know what? If God wants to fund this thing, he will find a way to fund this thing. He can create money out of the clear blue sky. He's done it before, right? Right? So I am not in this for your money. Can we all agree with that? The preacher doesn't want my money. I don't want your money. You know what I want? Your heart. Where your heart is and your priority is, guess what will follow? Your money. Now, why do I want you to obey this tithing principle? I'll probably share this again, but let me simply say, do you know the difference between the haves and the have-nots in the culture, the people who get ahead financially and the people who continually struggle and get behind? Do y'all know the difference? You can do some research on this. Do you know? Budget. You know what a budget does? A budget figures out how much I have, and I intentionally plan how I'm going to spend it so that I don't spend what I have not intentionally planned. Are y'all following me on this? That is how you get ahead in life financially. So what does God do? He says, hey, I demand that you tithe. So what do you have to do before you tithe? You have to figure out how much you got to figure out how much you make. And then you have to intentionally start figuring out how much you're going to, where it's going to go. I'm going to take a percentage and give here and a percentage here and a percentage here and a percentage here. So even if you don't do the 10%, would you do even a half of 1%? Would you do 1%? Would you start somewhere? Why do I ask you to start? Because God wants you to have a full life, and the way you do it is by starting the way he says to do it. So you start by figuring out what you've got, and then you sit down and with your spouse intentionally fight through how much you're going to actually give. And that is the first step towards a budget, which is the first step towards getting ahead in life. You thought God wanted your money? No. God wants you to have the systems that allow you to get ahead in this world. But we're so dumb. We are so dumb. We just think all he wants is our money. All right. So what's kingdom builders then? Well, those of you that are tithing, you might want to invest. Anybody do this? Does anybody take money out of your paycheck and put it in your retirement investment? Does anybody do that? Wow. People in this room are smart. So you're planning for your future. You're investing in something that matters. So do you know what we want to do? We want to provide you around here over the next month. We're going to be talking. And if you, by the way, you didn't get one of those emails inviting you to my house to have a special suite, check your email box. Either that or you know you're not giving. Okay? Check your email box. Because we sent out a bunch of invitations. We're going to tell you about this because here's the deal. There's some stuff you could invest in that would make an impact in the future for years to come. A couple of those things, Convoy of Hope, we're going to do this one day. We'll talk about this. Convoy of Hope, hopefully we're going to try to send a group of people down to the Bahamas to help the people who are down there without houses and help them out. We're going to give some money to help them out, also to feed kids. Last year, we took a missions trip to a place, and we literally built a kitchen in a church to help feed people that didn't have enough nutritional value for their kids' brains to grow. So we were there building a kitchen to help them have enough nutritional value to be able to grow, and the kids are hearing about God, and they're eating, and they're going to change the culture because of their training. Convoy of Hope, Chinese Orphanage, you'll hear about that. Harvest Hands, Dine With Us. These are all feeding programs we do here to help people out. Office Wing, we've got a big office wing over there that used to be the office wing, and now we need it for classrooms. Any girls' ministries or Royal Rangers in the house? If so, you know that you need it, right? You need those rooms renovated. And what else? The priority is we're going to pay down the loan on this building. Do you know I did some math? And over the 30-year amortization of this loan, if you give a dollar now to loan repayment, $1 now, it's the same as $4 over the life of the loan. That sounds like a pretty good investment to me. If you were to say, hey, give me a dollar, I say, give me a dollar, and I'll give you four back. Would you take that? Right? That's an investment. So what we're going to do is November 3rd, we're going to have one day to feed the world. One day to change the world is what we're going to do, and we're going to do this November 3rd. What we're asking you to do is we're asking you to take your pen and paper and sit down and figure out how much you make in one day of salary, and would you give that away to help change the world, to help change the world, to invest in changing the world. And we're going to be asking for one-year pledges over the next year to pay for these things. And trust me, there's a lot of dreams and vision, but we can't talk about that today. All right, so the third thing is God's righteousness. I want to end this up pretty quick here, but I want to talk to you about God's righteousness. The third angle we look at is God's righteousness. Hey, Bob, can I see your phone? Can I see your phone? You got your phone? Can I open it? Open it up for me. Open it up for me. Oh, do you know what we just did? We just stepped into intimacy right here. You know why?
Whoa, whoa, buddy.
You know why? Not that kind of intimacy. We're talking about friendship. Do you know why? I have access to his entire world right now, don't I? I know who you text. I know what you say, and I can find out what you say about me behind my back. I can. All right. See, the reason I did that is, how would it feel to be able to live your life so that you could give your phone to anybody? How would it feel to be able to live your life so that your parents or your girlfriend or your boyfriend could go through your browsing record and see who you follow on Instagram? How would it feel to live your life that kind of free? I was watching this up. My wife is a sick bird. She is a sick, sick bird. She makes me watch this show called Married at First Sight. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's another chick show. It's horrible. But she makes me watch it. So anyway, we're watching it, and they get these people, they get them married, and a couple of the couples are even having sex together, and they're like all, we love each other and stuff. And, they've only known each other a short while. And then the experts come in, and they say, we're going to do a little exercise today. Open up your phones and give it to each other. And they're like, no! I can have sex with them, but they can't see my phone. I saw that and I watched it and I thought to myself, what is it that you have to hide so much that you don't want people to see what's on your phone? Well, come to find out, one of them had pictures of his ex-girlfriend, and you guys know what, not just pictures. Y'all know what I'm talking about. By the way, girls, if you ever want to send, some guy asks for nudes, block that sucker. Because if you ever send a nude picture, girls, listen to me. I know junior high boys. Every single boy, every single one is going to show it to everybody. We live in a messed up culture. Wouldn't it be great if we could actually live in such a way, we could live in such a way that we weren't afraid of being found out? Wouldn't it be great if we lived in God's righteousness? I'm not saying you never sin, but I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to be ashamed or afraid? We're to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Romans 8:1 says this, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if you lived a righteous life that way? And God's plan is for you to live in his righteousness. The rules of the kingdom are not there to kill you, they're there to give you freedom. What would happen if you weren't ashamed? And, somebody starts a conversation with, hey, and you're like, oh, crap, they know. Come on. We've all been there, right? I was a teenager. Somebody said something to me, and I did what every good teenager did that didn't want to be found out. I lied to cover up. But I didn't lie good enough, and I was exposed. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. And before long, I'm embarrassed to walk the halls of my high school. All because unrighteousness causes you to want to hide it. And I say that we should live the kind of life that we can take our browsing history, that we can take our Instagram followers and who we follow and show them to anyone. That we should be able to live willing to show our checkbook because we have nothing to hide. And the way you get into a real relationship with God is when you live in such a way that you have nothing to hide. And listen, when you live with God as your priority, you live in alignment with his kingdom, and you live in alignment with his righteousness, listen to the promise. All these other things will be added to you as well. The end of that verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all the stuff you're worried about will be added to you as well. So I got a little illustration here. We'll close up with this, all right? This is you. This will be you in a second, all right? This is you. And this is all the stuff that demands your time. Got to drive kids to the store or to the baseball game. Got to buy food. Got to, you know, whatever it is. Mow the grass. Watch the Browns lose again. What, you know, whatever. All right, all of that stuff. And then, you know, we got, I got to go to work. I got to be a dad. Let me see. Got to take care of my house. Have to do some stuff at church. Got to exercise, try to stay in shape. God. All right, God, fit in my life. God doesn't fit. Why doesn't God fit? Because all the little stuff took priority away from the middle stuff. And when it comes time for the big stuff, there's no room. But what we need to do is this. What we need to do is this is my life. And I place God as the first priority in my life. And then, you know what? Then I exercise and take care of my kids. There you go. Yeah, I got a job. Got a wife. Got to love her and treat her right somehow. Got a house and bills to pay. Now what do I do with all the rest of the stuff, all the little stuff? Well, got to drive the kids to soccer and baseball. Occasionally watch a Browns game. Doesn't matter whether they win or lose because my priority's right. May watch the Cowboys since they're better. And you know what I have? I'm able to get everything in because I put the priority that was first. And look at that. I even got some gaps in there that I can go play golf and have some fun. You know, our problem is, here's our problem. You're living your life for this stuff. Got to look at Facebook, see who likes me. Got to go on Instagram to see who I need to look like. What if we put God first? What if you just made him first? Seek first the kingdom of God. See God as kingdom and as righteousness. Then all these little things, he'll take care of them. I ask you to bow your head with me real quick. I just want to ask a very simple question. You're in the room today, and you have the wrong priority. And you need to put God as the priority of your life. He's talking to you. This isn't me. He's talking to you. You need to make him the priority of your life first. The first priority. That's you. You need to lift your hand. Would you just lift your hand right now? Yes, around this room. Leave them up. Leave them up, please. Around this room. Leave them way up, okay? Come on. It's a declaration. Father, I pray right now that every hand that's lifted up, that's saying, I need you to be my priority, I pray in the name of Jesus you would help them today to make you the priority of their lives. And would you give them life and health and peace and blessing? And God, as they seek you first, would you hear an answer? I think you ought to lift the second one now. Can you lift the other one up as a full surrender? Come on, both of them. I know this is awful Pentecostal, but could we do this? Could we just lift both of our hands and say, thank you, God. I now trust you that all the little stuff I can't handle, you're going to take care of. If I put you first, all these other things will be given as well. And I trust you for it, and I believe you for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? All right, don't run away. I got a job assignment for you before you leave. All right. Before you leave, look around real quick. Look around. These are the people you sit, you come in, you're creatures of habit. You sit in the same general space every single time, right? Yeah, you're creatures of habit. There are people around you you don't know. Now, they're the people that when I said look around, they did this. Do you know who needs a friend this morning? You know who needs a friend? Person that did this. You know who doesn't feel comfortable having a friend? The person who did this. You know why? You know why? Because you desperately crave love. That's why you're here. But there's something on the inside that says I'm not worthy or whatever it may be. And I'm going to tell you how to make a friend. Bob, I've already used you once. Come here, please, please. I'll use you again. Don't sit on the front row. That's the end. No, I'm just kidding. Watch this. Hi, my name's Kevin. Did you see that? Did y'all see how easy it was? Do you know if you recognize and love somebody that needs it, they'll be a friend for life? Do you know why they'll be a friend for life? Because they learned, I care, because I looked him in the eye, I asked him his name, and I remembered his name. Before you walk out of the door today, I want you to find somebody. Thanks, Bob. I want you to find somebody, and I want you to say hi to them. Get to know them. These may be the people that will pray you through. There was a text I sent to that man years ago. He prayed me through a situation. We didn't even know each other that well. God said, text him. He prayed for me and it changed. The person you meet today may be the person that prays you through the problem you're in. Stop coming to church. Start being the church. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory and majesty and power and authority through Christ Jesus our Lord before all ages and now and forever. Amen. Amen. Say hi to somebody before you leave. God bless you. Have a great day.